It's the busiest travel day of the year, and Wednesday already set a record, eclipsing total numbers for 2019 in terms of holiday travel. That's reported by the TSA. We want to get an update of everything on the COVID front, and for that, we're going to bring in Dr. Sharif Elnahal, University Hospital CEO, also former NJDOH commissioner. And Doctor, thank you for joining us today. Just want to get your baseline expectations for the travel season here. The numbers in New York City in terms of Omicron and COVID infections skyrocketing, yet not deterring passenger travel.
Yeah, thanks you so much for having me. So not surprising to me that there's a lot of travel happening. A lot of folks have not seen their family, loved ones for quite some time due to the pandemic. I will say that we're seeing not only vaccinated people, but boosted people get infected with Omicron in our community and in our hospital. However, the severity of disease is really not nearly as much as what we saw in Delta. And that finding is replicated in rigorous studies done out of South Africa and elsewhere in the past few days, the results of which came out and showed up to an 80% reduced likelihood of hospitalization for patients with Omicron versus Delta in South Africa. I think that's one of the most telling results, especially since you have a low vaccination rate in South Africa, although very high population level immunity. So I think it's important to make sure that if you're gathering with family this holiday season, that verifying vaccination status, making sure folks are not only vaccinated, but boosted if they're eligible, is important, because we know that the booster will offer that much more protection. 33% effectiveness if you're not boosted for Pfizer, results out of the UK say, for symptomatic disease prevention. And we want to make sure that if folks contract it, which is still possible if you're vaccinated, that it's not a severe disease. And the best way to do that is to get boosted.
And then, Doctor, I want to turn your attention to testing. We are seeing incredibly long lines here in New York City and in other places across the country for testing. When should we test, and what type of test should we be getting? Because some of these, you know, rapid tests, the antigen tests, they simply don't work. And then tied to that, you know, there's been the FDA authorization of the Merck and the Pfizer COVID pills, which are supposed to be taken early on to be the most, you know, efficient and to help fight the disease. But then in order to know you have it, you have to get tested or you have to have symptoms. But in some cases, people are waiting, I know, 7-8 days now for a PCR test. So help us square those two things away, if you will.
Yeah, it's one of the complicating factors, and the FDA authorization does make pretty clear that you should have a confirmed diagnosis before taking the drug. And so that's the tension here. I do think that the Biden administration announced in a very timely way the availability of rapid testing delivered to people's homes as early as the beginning of January, 500 million tests that you can order right online for yourself and your loved ones delivered to your home. I think that will be a game changer, hopefully. But it's important, because having that confirmed diagnosis will be important for doctors to be able to verify your eligibility. And we don't know yet about the distribution of these drugs. We have not heard when an expected delivery date is. I think all of that is trying to happen as fast as possible out of the administration and, of course, out of the companies and manufacturers themselves. They're working hard to mass produce and distribute this. It won't be available immediately, unfortunately, but we're waiting. As soon as it's available to us, we're going to make good use of it.
And Doctor, I'd like to get your opinion on the efficacy of vaccine passports, and just efficacy in the loose sense of the word, because in New York, we have a pretty highly compliant population, especially in, depends on the borough, but we have people that are crowding into theaters and into restaurants who are vaccinated, and there's still high level of breakthrough cases of infections. I'm just wondering if there's been a rethinking in the medical profession and at the CDC about the usefulness of vaccine passports.
I think the concept, if implemented, could still be useful, because what you're doing is you're aggregating folks in an indoor setting that, if they get COVID-19, whether it's Omicron or not, are much less likely to have a severe case. If you're an institution, a restaurant, a department store, whatever it is, and you have transmission that ultimately leads to death, that's just a greater liability and a greater weight on that institution's shoulders. And so I think the policy, where it's implemented, will still ultimately prevent severe disease, hospitalization, and death, just by virtue of making sure that everybody there has protection against severe COVID-19. But you're right in identifying the fact that even boosted people are getting infected with Omicron. But the good news is our pace of hospitalizations here at University Hospital Newark, while going up, is nowhere near the pace of increase in cases. And those findings, again, were replicated in South Africa, the UK, Denmark, Scotland, and other places. And so that in and of itself is encouraging. Our bigger concern now is our own staff who are getting sick and having to remain out of work for an entire period of 10 days while we are facing a hospital that's filled with non-COVID related issues. Our ICUs are filled. Our medical surgical units are filled with patients who had delayed or deferred care, mental and behavioral health issues, the other effects of the pandemic that's not related directly to COVID infection. So that's my biggest concern right now for our hospital. But ultimately, these public health measures should hopefully reduce severe disease hospitalization.
Well, that, and let me just follow up on that. We got time for one more there. It seems like a lot of policy thinking is being revisited as we gather more data. Another related one is relates to what you were just talking about, the ability to staff your hospital. And that has to do with recovery time from COVID. And Dr. Fauci the other day made some comments seeming like he was open to the possibility of reducing that 10-day quarantine period recommended by the CDC to something more like 5 for fully vaccinated people. Just want to see if you agree with that or if you have any additional thoughts.
Well, I can tell you it's an especially important consideration for healthcare workers. Of course, healthcare workers who are ill, feeling sick, are symptomatic, have a fever, those folks should stay home and recover. The most important thing is getting them better and for their well-being. But for folks who are asymptomatic and get Omicron, which of course appears to be milder now, 5 or 6 days out, if they're able to get an antigen test and it's negative, which is an indicator of how transmissible they are, it's not unreasonable to consider putting them back to work if they're willing. Because again, the downside of not having enough healthcare workers at beds, when you have sick patients already in beds in our hospital and more coming in every day, is another factor to look at in terms of public health. And I think it's something that's important to consider. And of course, downstream, considering whether the quarantine period and isolation period should be adjusted would make more sense as we get more data on the severity of Omicron. And if we think and hope that it actually turns out to be true, that even in older vulnerable people, it's less severe, those considerations are more than reasonable.
And Doctor, we have to leave it there. Always appreciate your insights. Dr. Sharif El-Nahl, University Hospital CEO.